opportunity of leisure. Only the one who has little business can become wise. Just what do you think is being inferred here? And if you claim to know, do you think that it's true? The wisdom of the scribe depends on the opportunity of leisure. Only the one who has little business can become wise. I think to understand, we must first discern the contextual importance of a scribe, as well as what Sirach means by business and having little of it. So to begin this morning, let us grasp that a scribe in the Old Testament was unlike any of our present-day constructions. For being a scribe wasn't like some sort of subordinate position, a mere intermediary for a thinking mind imbalanced by a lazy hand. No, a scribe was actually the it job. You made it if you were a scribe. It was like getting your MD or your PhD. You got all the girls. Well, maybe then PhD is a bad example, but it was definitely like getting your MD. You had to go through rigorous training in various disciplines. You had to study multiple languages and be well-versed in the law, tax systems, and the interpretation of sacred, holy texts. You were the right hand of government and religious officials, and you were a teacher of things few could comprehend, read about, or write of. You were not a mere copyist. Not at all. You were scribe, and proud, and wise at that. How did one become a scribe? Could anyone become a scribe? Well, according to Sirach, the main credential was being of little business. Not small business, mind you. It wasn't like Sirach was trying to say you had to be an owner of some Pharisaic comic book store or some other small venture. He meant little business. And by being of little business, you had to first come into an opportunity of leisure, such that your days were governed by minimal work and the luxury of choice. This, don't be mistaken, was and is a rare exception of life. For a scribe cannot be molded from just anyone, anyone from any class. No, a scribe and its gained wisdom could only be aspired to from one coming by way of an expanse of free time. Free time. That is time unchallenged by the pressures of hunger, by the pressures of finding shelter, by the pressures of fleeing and surviving. Free time is marked by the discretionary choice to do as you please. Indeed, then, not just anyone could be a scribe. You had to first be birthed into a select happenstance unconscionable by the vast majority of those cloaked in the lineage of the ordinary. Now, of course, we know today this isn't always black and white everywhere all the time. We all know of those who have come to wisdom and status by way of a lot of business, from a path that is distant from discovering leisure as ants remain from grasping the expansion of the universe. But can we also be isn't it more commonplace that most of those, indeed most of us, who come to be the women and men of varying importance and specialized wisdoms, are also those who were originally given the opportunity of excess, such that we were blessed with the platforms of time and space to independently form realities emanating from the question, what do you want to be when you grow up? Not what do you have to be when you grow up? And that's precisely the question and answer that Sirach was getting at. But yes, scribes are indeed wise, and they have taken advantage, rightfully, of their opportunity and subsequently excelled. But that does not change the reality that they also most likely fell into privilege at their onset, and thus an opulence of little business, while the majority of their others start from a so much less fortuitous genesis. Considering then such an applicable corollary, how can any of our adversaries say with any conviction that the Bible today is not relevant? For in just one passage, Sirach has identified the categories that many of us, and indeed many of our neighbors southeast on the avenue, have fallen into. And thus, through his words, we are given a word of wisdom and, indeed, a word of notice. That though many of us here today are the scribes, the women and men of our pretty how towns, we nonetheless share our place with the anyones and the no-ones of our race who exist nearby to us today. Indeed, then, Sirach has given us a word, and a word for our children, a word that they should not forget as up they grow. That though they might in the future attain eminence in public assembly, be found amongst the rulers expounding judgment and discipline, there is yet amongst them a culture of faces who equitably assist in maintaining the fabric of their world. That though they might, through your gifts, turn out wise, they ought still not pass by those devoid of their own opportunity of leisure, but rather acknowledge that those too who are deprived of such are to be noticed, that those too who are deprived of such are to be allowed, that they are to be affirmed, that they are to be benefited, that they are to be enrolled in the same schools and embraced by all of us and by God love. For through his words, we have been given the word similar to these deep words of consternation. Anyone lived in a pretty cow town with up so floating many bells down, spring, summer, autumn, winter, he sang his did and he danced his did. Women and men, both little and small, cared for anyone, not at all. They sow their isn't, they reap their same. Sun, moon, stars, rain. Children guessed, but only a few, and down they forgot as up they grew. Autumn, winter, spring, summer, that no one loved him more by more. When by now, and tree by leaf, she laughed his cry, she cried his grief. Bird by snow and stir by still, anyone's any was all to her. Someone's married their everyone's, laughed their cryings and did their dance. Sleep, wake, hope, and then they said their nevers, they slept their dream. Stars, rain, sun, moon. And only the snow can begin to explain how children are apt to forget to remember with up so floating many bells down. One day anyone died, I guess, and no one stooped to kiss his face. Busy folk buried them side by side, little by little, and was by was, all by all, and deep by deep, and more by more they dreamed their sleep. No one and anyone, earth by April, wish by spirit and if by us. Women and men, both dung and ding, summer, autumn, winter, spring, reaped their sowing and winter came. Sun, stars, moon, rain. My brothers and sisters, Jesus, too, wasn't anyone like the anyone that E.E. Cummings has profoundly described. Jesus was the son of a carpenter, a profession of great business, not little business, and yet with no hope toward wisdom. The artisan class, after all, in Jesus' era, was just one rank above a slave on the totem pole of societal approval. You have nobility, you have Caesar, Pharisees all up here, slave on the very bottom, and the craftsman just one step above. So while these Pharisees, Roman governors, and indeed scribes were reaping the benefits of community authorization, Jesus was born to a lowly craftsman in an even less significant region called Nazareth. Nazareth was a blip on a map. Thus, to those women and men who were in charge, Jesus and his band of disciples were the distant relatives of anyone and no one, specks in a grand cesspool of Hellenistic expansion. Physical and monetary power, as well as nobility and class, those were the benchmarks of success. This so-called Christ coming from Nazareth, he didn't possess any of these. Little by little, and was by was. Jesus was thus, at birth, ignored, mocked, and then later even forgotten by many, for he was remembered in his beginning a nobody from Nazareth. But as all of us know here today, how that all came crashing down on the Sermon on the Mount. For in the greatest sermon ever to be preached, Jesus capsized their entire social order. The poor became the blessed. The weak inherited the earth. The suffering many became the chosen few. In an instant, the mountains were shattered and the sky brought closer to the ground. Down became up, an outcast royalty. No one by everyone, anyone if someone. Are you understanding this morning? Your Lord and Savior was born into nothing, and while amongst no one, emerged into the most recognizable someone this world has ever known. Thus, the charge from your Christ, from the anointed one of the entire history of the world, is to become changed women and men and scribes, passing not by those found removed in places from opportunities toward wisdom, for that indeed would have been Jesus during his time. Rather, you and we are to use the gifts that we have received through our leisure and cultivate to change the order of our world. And by God, you must advocate the same to your children. They cannot forget as up they grow. gospel is certainly lost, if not